Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and you're listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. Hey everybody, we're back from hiatus for the Good E-Reader Radio Show. It's Friday night, and I hope that little ditty got you into the Friday night spirits, March 22nd, 2013. So lots of things have been happening in Good E-Reader land, as it were. We have a number of kind of cool things on the go right now. Number one, our BlackBerry Playbook and BB10 App Store is doing really well. We have over 1,600 Playbook and BB10 apps right now, and because the device has just launched in the U.S., we're seeing a lot of new people come to the website to kind of get a sense on what we have to offer, what makes us different from BlackBerry's official world. Baseline is that there's not that many quality apps there, but there's 100,000 apps, so there's no shortage. But you're not going to find things like Comixology, Marvel, Netflix, Instagram. You're not going to find things like WeChat, Kobo, and a number of seminal apps that people want. And so we've taken upon ourselves to convert the Android version over to a Playbook and BB10 friendly format, and we've done a number of new videos lately that basically walk you through the whole side loading procedure. Exactly, you want this app, what do you do now? And we kind of walk you through the entire steps on what you need to do on your phone and then what you need to do on our website in order to facilitate the transfer of apps from our app store or alternatives and get them on your device. So we're pretty happy with the momentum that we're carrying right now. So we're putting a huge priority right now, pretty well both the last 2 months, on just getting as many apps as converted as possible. And then that way people can, get new content on their phone and actually enjoy the BlackBerry ecosystem. I want BlackBerry to succeed. I think that they're a solid brand. I've been pretty loyal to them since about 2004 when I got my original BlackBerry Pearl, and I've gotten every iteration since then. I don't really like the Z10 personally, but I'm kind of waiting for that Q10, which is a full QWERTY keyboard, because you know, with the business class, I get like 500-600 emails a day. I reply to maybe about 70 of them. But, you know, doing it on a touchscreen phone is not that intuitive. I never really grew up with a touchscreen phone. I kind of grew up with the Tektronix feel of a keyboard. And so being able to like fastly type on a physical QWERTY keyboard solid, and I'm pretty happy with the leaps and bounds of the BlackBerry 10 system. And so I'm a fan of it. It just touchscreen phones really aren't for me. So I'm kind of waiting for the Q10 to launch in Canada. Should launch in the first few weeks of April, I'm told. I've gone to a number of stores lately just to get comments on when it's live in the systems. And they have them on the systems. No staff's really been trained on them yet. So it's kind of usually about a week in advance. Staff will start getting trained on them, and then, you know, we'll see a wider release. So stay tuned for news about that. Now, we have a number of kind of cool places we're going to in the next little bit. We will be in the coming months checking out the American Library Association's annual conference, and this is in Chicago. We'll also be at Book Expo America, and we will be going to London for the London Book Fair. So stay tuned in the coming weeks and months for kind of live on the scene coverage. One of our lead-in stories going into Friday is the persistent rumor of Samsung trying to sell off Liquivista. Now, we kind of got the inside scoop. So now that Bloomberg has officially sort of put this out into the open with a recent article, I can kind of talk about what I've heard. Now, when I was at CES this year, I spoke with people from E-Ink, from Plastic Logic, and from a number of e-paper companies. And they all kind of told me off the record that, yes, Samsung was trying to sell Liquivista, and that's kind of what their segment of the industry was really buzzing about. And I was told to kind of keep it under my hat, so obviously I never really wanted to write about it publicly because it's basically just rumor and conjecture. You know, Samsung wants to sell this. These people are talking about it. They're not really too interested in buying it. And so who is going to buy it? Well, the rumor really is that Amazon is looking into it. And what Liquivista is it employs a kind of electrowetting technology. We've seen demos of it in the past at some industry trade shows, and it bears a very eerily resemblance to Miracell in a respect that it's color e-paper, but it's better e-quality colors than you would see from, say, like an e-ink Triton where it's color e-ink. This is sort of like very low-power drawing tablets that you can make, and you could apply this to either tablets or e-readers. And so you can think of it as a new generation of color that, because the power requirements are so low that you, instead of a tablet lasting you about 8 to 10 hours, which is about the industry standard, it instead lasts you like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And so people are very attracted to devices that require low power requirements. And that's partly of the reason why e-readers have done so well, is because on a single charge, you could literally read it for a few months at a time, or 6 to 8 months if you're just a very casual reader, maybe reading 5 to 6 books, you know, a book a month or something like that. So that is the tremendous appeal, and nothing is really said officially, but Samsung did say that we are currently reviewing many plans, including the sale, but nothing has been confirmed yet. Amazon, of course, never confirms or denies things like that, but no matter who's going to buy it, Samsung wants to unload it. They've really not done nothing with it since they acquired the company a few years ago. So it'll be interesting to see if anybody actually, you know, purchases this. Now, getting into some other news, what we really have is a landmark case that has just happened in the U.S., What this says is that finally, outside of the US, the resale of digital content can occur. And this is pretty big news, because what this says, and what other cases that have happened, you know, over about the last year or so, more particularly with software and then music, was saying that, okay, if a digital content doesn't originate from outside the U.S., then people can actually legitimately resell, like, their digital textbooks, their digital magazines, their newspapers, or ebooks. We might see some big forward momentum in the next few years of digital reselling marketplaces that are not shady like you see now, but are purely legit. Adding credence to this rumor, both Apple and Amazon have filed patents, and these patents say that they're kind of ambiguous, like they don't really tell you what they're for applicable, but they do say that they're for the digital resale of used content. And this is strictly to digital content. So it looks like that Apple and Amazon have been paying attention to sort of what's been happening in law land and are saying, look, if digital content is going to be legal, well, we might as well, you know, sell the content and then take a fee if, you know, you sell the used copy. And then it's sort of a win-win, because when you look at used bookstores or into used textbooks, when you buy them on eBay or Craigslist, the publisher gets the initial sale, but they don't get any cut of the, you know, when you resell it. And that's partly the reason why a lot of companies are really against the resale of content, because they don't see any recurring income. And you see this huge in the video game industry, and same with the movie, you know, DVD and Blu-ray industry, where, you know, you buy it and then you resell it. Your friend, after watching it, will resell it again. No one really gets anything other than the cut of the initial sale. But with digital sale, you know, with Apple, with Amazon, you buy a Kindle book, you read it, you want to resell it, you list it on Amazon, someone buys it, Amazon and the publisher get a cut of the initial sale, then they get a cut of the resale. So being able to resell content through legitimate ecosystems could be a reality very soon. I don't really see it happening in 2013, but I do see it definitely happening probably 6 months into 2014, or definitely 2015. Speaking of, you know, publishing and ebooks and all this sort of stuff, Google has ceased publication of Former's guidebooks. Now, Google had purchased all the asset for Former's in 2012, and they got it for about $22 million. And this was a hot property. It basically published guidebooks, you know, guidebooks to London, to Napa Valley, to Banff, Alberta, to various things. And Google has suspended publishing of all the books. And there's 24 titles that were, you know, written, slated to be released this year, and they'll never see the light of day. So Google has canceled the physical publications that were sold to, you know, Barnes & Noble, major bookstores all over the U.S. and North America, and the electronic versions, and they're not going to be doing anything like that at all. There's been lots of news in the manga industry lately. A number of sites have, you know, gone down. And so what does this mean? You know, if you're a manga fan and you want to get stuff legitimately, well, where do you go? I mean, partly one of the huge reasons about digital manga is that people pirate it. People pirate it a lot. Unfortunately, what this really does accomplish is that because people are pirating it in such great degrees, and they're pirating it mainly because people want the manga as soon as it comes out. A lot of these stores never really did same-day digital releases. We're kind of spoiled with comic books or ebooks mostly, where if a book comes out on a certain day, that ebook comes out on that day. If a comics abide by that same day digital release policy, where you know, the same day that the physical comic comes out, the digital version does as well. Now, manga's not like that. What's really kind of happened is that they've done a number of scanlations, and people scan it and then put it up in PDF format, and they do it. And so this has kind of forced J Manga to go out of business. Customers have until March 26 to use all their credits to purchase manga or exchange the credits for the Amazon gift cards. If you're not too familiar with J Manga, they were basically a product of Toppan Printing of America, which is a subsidiary of a Japanese printer publisher, and it was being basically financed and contributed content by over 39 Japanese manga companies supporting it, but it was only available in North America, then spread out to the UK, then to other markets. Their Android app was fairly woeful. They were really late in getting an iOS app to the market, although they eventually did. Their credit system actually kind of sucked, because it kind of like you were going to buy credits and then you use those credits to like purchase content. One of the things that kind of alienated a lot of users was not only it was expensive, but anything you owned wasn't truly yours. Like if you bought a manga book, you couldn't actually copy it to your computer, load it onto other devices. And so what this means is now that JManga is going out of business, anything that you have purchased is not yours anymore. Now that the service is going down, anything that people have bought from the company won't be able to access ever again. And so this is one of the pitfalls of kind of like a service that is a pure online service and doesn't actually give you anything tangible or almost intangible in return. You can't do any backups. You can't do any cloud storage. It's basically you read the books on your Android app or your iOS app or on your PC, but now that the service is going down, you're not be able to get it anymore. So what are the alternatives? Well, Barnes & Noble has a robust selection of manga from Viz, Yen Press, Digital Manga Publishing, Seven Seas, and a number of other things. Now, they only do graphic novels. Not all the books are available on every platform, and so, you know, Amazon and iBooks also carry manga, but Barnes & Noble seems to have the most robust selection. You can also get manga directly through Viz. Now, Viz is the largest manga publisher in the U.S., and so they have the largest titles of the types of franchises you want to get. Notaro, Vampire Knight, Neon Genesis Evangelion, things like that. Even things like Go-Go Monster. Now, you can get single volume issues for about $4.99. Omnibuses are about $8.99 to $9.99. They have a lot of great content, and they have dedicated apps for like iOS and things like that. Also, Comixology also has a huge they may not have a huge selection of manga, but it's fairly good. You can get things like Cyborg, 009, things by Digital Publishing, the manga franchise, and a number of titles, Vampire Hunter D, things like that. Also, I recommend E-Manga, which is not safe for work, and Gen Manga. So if you're a manga fan, check out those alternatives to J Manga. They both have different prices, but they have kind of apps in common where you can do iOS apps, Android apps, and things like that. Now that we're on the subject of comics, Dark Horse is bringing graphic novels to Google Play. So if you're into the traditional kind of comic book like Star Wars, Astro Boy, if you're into a number of kind of things that Dark Horse offers, Aliens versus Predator, things like that, they are bringing 400 graphic novels. They're for sale on the platform now. You're seeing about $3.99 a title, so getting a graphic novel for $3.99 is pretty solid, and it is attached to your Google account, but you do need access to Google Play. So if you have that Amazon Kindle, Barnes & Noble Nook, a lot of devices like that, they don't have access to Google Play, so you might not be able to get it, but if you have a tablet like the Nexus 7 or the Kobo Arc, you do have access to it, so you'll be able to make a number of purchases through there. Now that we're on the subject of Google, I think it's important to note that Google Books is really expanding, and I think partly the reason why they suspended the publication of Formers is that they want to really focus on international expansion of their Google Play Book Store. just this week, they expanded into Mexico, and they have expanded into South America, Latin America, all over Europe, Australia, Canada. And I think that this company is sort of employing that sort of digital strategy where they're not really caring too much about a lot of other stuff, but I think that they really want to expand their digital footprint in order to really compete against the other major ebook stores, Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Smashwords, companies like that. Getting a little bit closer to home, Canadian Kobo has released a Jelly Bean update for their Kobo Arc. Now, this is Jelly Bean, I think, 4.1. And not the 4.2 update everybody wants, but you do have a number of kind of cool features. And if you do have the ARC, the update is sitting there available for you. Speaking of updates, next issue for Android also updated their app. They went from about 32 digital magazines to 80. And some of these new magazines include Bloomberg, Business Week, Cosmo, Details, Rachel Ray, Family Circle, Fast Company, Oprah, Redbook, a number of others. They abide by sort of a subscription model where you pay a monthly fee and you could read as many magazines as you want. So this is called an unlimited premium customer, and you can get whatever you want. So I like this company. They're doing good things, and they also have apps for Windows 8 and a number of platforms. So if you don't really have Android, you can still kind of get a number of new things from them. If you're a fan of ebooks, and I know you are listening to this show, Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code ebook is available for free. So this is going from Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, and other major retailers, and it also features the first chapter of Dan Brown's new book called Inferno, which is coming out May 14th. The Da Vinci Code has sold 81 million books since it was first released in 2003. So this giveaway is part of their 10-year anniversary. It's a solid deal. I mean, free is free. What we're going to do is we're going to listen to a little tune, and then I'm going to talk more about publishing and some features that I want to draw your attention to. One is called Drive-Thru RPG, pioneering digital distribution for out-of-print books. And we'll also talk about our special feature today, which is the German digital publishing industry and how they've had to make a number of changes recently to compete against Amazon. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back, and I think that Beck always eases the pain. That was Modern Guilt. All right, so let's jibe a little bit, if we may. A drive-thru RPG is a company that's been floating under the radar. It specializes in sort of game material, Dungeons & Dragons, Rifts, White Wolf. If you're into role-playing, pen and paper RPGs, this site is actually doing a lot of amazing things. And it's not doing the types of things that you would traditionally expect out of a digital distribution company. Sure, you can walk and buy, you know, pen and paper RPG books from your local comic store, or even from a Barnes & Noble, Indigo Chapters, things like that. But if you want to get the digital content, there really isn't a lot of options available to you. Most people end up pirating the books from BitTorrent sites and things like that. Drive-Thru RPG has quietly been developing quite the following, printing out-of-print books, but also new books as well, since about 2004. They also have deals with Wizards of the Coast, which basically do all of the D&D stuff. They kind of purchased the franchise a number of years ago. The company's main delivery method is PDFs, and they don't have digital rights management, but they do have watermarks. Now, these watermarks are the same kind of DRM-free books that you would get out of Pottermore or that recently Tor have adopted, but Drive-Thru RPG actually did it first. This ensures that customers can easily transfer books between your various devices without really having to worry about things like Adobe Digital Editions and kind of working with a lot of software that makes you jump through a number of hoops. You could just load on your smartphone, load it on your tablet, go to a friend's house, put it on his laptop, etc. A lot of new books are available at 50% off the cover price, and they have really say that almost everything that they offer initially has about 30% off of the cover price. Now this company, Drive-Thru RPG, actually deals directly with the publishers, and the publishers basically establish the price. So you're not sort of getting a shady site or anything like that. You're seeing a money site that deals directly with the publishers. They list the content through there. And so if you're looking for a legitimate place to get all of your pen and paper RPGs, source books, expansion titles, you know, things like that, you may want to check them out. Finally, let's talk about the German digital publishing book industry. Now, it doesn't really get a lot of attention. Statistically, Germany is the type of country where people love their physical book and they find it hard to give up. A recent study a few years ago at the London Book Fair said that about 75% of Germans still love their physical newspaper, still love their physical, you know, periodical, their physical books, and it's kind of hard to grow in a digital space. And so Germany, France, and Spain have similar problems. Long-standing publishing industry, I mean, it's the old world, you know, they've been publishing books since like the 1300s, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, so it's set, but the times are changing, and this is mainly because of Amazon and Apple. 2 years ago, digital adoption rate in Germany was about 4%. Today, 2 years later, it is 11%, and they're satiating their literary thirst, dealing directly with the iPad, the iPhone, Kindle products, Kindle tablets, and so on. And a recent pundit in Germany said, for decades, the publishing business is pretty much the same. It is now entering a crisis for the first time, and everything will look different after that. In Germany now, you're starting to see bookstores close, and this never really happened before. If you've ever gone to a Barnes & Noble store, or if you've ever gone to a Chapter store in Canada, you may have noticed in the last few years that the companies are putting a higher priority on things that are other than books. Stuffed animals, expensive chocolates, cups, candles, birthday cards, you know. They're putting a high real estate value on a lot of these sort of items that you would go in and get an Easter mug or get some, you know, gift wrapping paper. You know, you're at a bookstore to buy a book, but you could buy a teddy bear. You could buy all this other stuff. The bookstore is in Germany are for the first time starting to do this as well. Other than just books, you can walk into a Thalia or other bookstore and now get a lot of swag, a lot of kind of garbage. And they're doing this in order to basically stay alive because more people now are going to digital. Well, what are they doing? And how are they going to solve this problem? Well, there's been a number of initiatives lately. Deutsche Telekom, a number of huge publishing companies and tech companies have all come together to debut the Tolino Shine. And this is the same type of e-reader that's much akin to the Kobo Glow Amazon Kindle Paperwhite. It's a front-lit e-reader, so you can read in the dark. The design leaves something to be desired for, but at the launch, they have over 300,000 books that are available, and they're putting them in about 800 different stores total. So most tech stores, most bookstores, you know, things like that are all carrying this. And they're basically trying to do battle with Amazon on their home turf and sort of give a compelling reason for people to shop and buy locally because most of the books that are available are by German authors, homegrown literary talent, local bestsellers, things like that, rather than putting an emphasis on a lot of English, which is really what Amazon and Apple does because they don't have those sort of money arrangements in Germany. Now, Germany is a funny market. We recently sat down with the VP of Newspaper Direct, who does the Press Reader apps, and they're the company that does replica newspapers. You might have heard them if you're into reading digital newspapers online. They're one of the best companies to deal with because they do this sort of subscription model where you pay a low monthly fee, you can read as many newspapers as you want. So you could read if you're traveling, and you know, from Saudi Arabia to Canada, you could still read your local paper anywhere that you want, which is fairly solid. But what they told us is that, yeah, I mean, going into Germany for anybody outside of Germany and not based there is really hard to do. And so Amazon and Apple have done it, but a lot of other companies aren't really having any type of footprint there because they're not able to really speak the language, even though they speak German, if you know what I mean. So when all these publishing companies in Germany and bookstores in Germany came together to do the Tolino Shine, they just didn't do that to put out an e-reader that limits the distractions of email and social media, which the iPad and Kindle Fire don't do. It's hard to get into a book when you're getting pings from Facebook, pings from Twitter, taking you out of that book experience. So they really kind of did that. But they just didn't do an e-reader, but it comes to like big data. And that's the big reason why these money Germany companies have decided to put out their own e-reader to do battle. It wasn't just saying buy our device over their device, here's the reasons why, but it was for the big data. And that's something that Amazon and Apple don't give. And we've seen, Digital Book World, O'Reilly Tools for Change, a number of educational textbook companies speaking at CES this year. And these are all events that have happened in the last few months. The big conversational topic when you talk to like all these guys that run the company or they're like in second in command of, you know, companies that make like 100 million, 500 million a year or more in profits, they all say that big data is critically important. And that's one of the reasons why people grudgingly do business with Amazon and Apple's to get those sort of commissions on the book sales because they sell so many books that it's pretty easy to make a lot of money. But they don't provide big data. They don't provide customers' buying habits. They don't provide analytics. They don't provide what devices they're shopping from or anything like that. And partly, the big data is really how you're able to tailor marketing campaigns, how you're able to go after certain niche markets. If a subset or genre is becoming really hot, big data can sort of say, you know, paranormal, erotica, vampire books are suddenly starting to sell like crazy. Let's start pumping out a few books and, you know, take advantage of the market. But when you're doing business with, you know, Amazon and Apple, they normally keep all those types of things private. So it's sort of hard to know exactly all the semantics of who's buying your book and from where and all those details. And so a lot of those companies banded together just not to release the e-reader, but to also employ a unified big data strategy. So that's something that really has not got public attention. But when people speak, you know, at breakfasts, or they do little private talks, or when you're at these events and you're just shooting the breeze with some of these guys, that's what they're all saying. You know, companies like No, companies like Course Smart, companies like Press Reader, they all say, you know, we wouldn't be able to grow and tailor our product and give customers what they wanted if we didn't capture the big data ourselves. And so that's kind of like why people have not just an iOS app, but they also have an Android, a Windows 8, you know, across BlackBerry, many different systems, so they can sort of monitor each one of those and sort of weigh the priorities of what's doing well, what should we, you know, put our efforts more towards. And so the German publishing industry is starting to transform because of the big data. So what's going to happen? What's the future of Germany? Well, no one really knows. People are saying that there are a number of publicity campaigns right now. So you're seeing like, okay, so new campaign. Right now that they're doing a campaign going into the biggest publishing book fair in Germany. And the emphasis is bringing the sexy back on the print. And so they're producing a series of very slick commercials, newspaper articles, and everything like that. But people are saying that it's too little, too late, and it may not work even for damage control. Publishing companies and bookstores were unprepared for the elevated growth of digital books during the last few years. There are hardly any avenues of self-publishing exclusively in Germany, and aspiring authors, instead of having to deal with overseas companies, textbook companies, have not made a move to really foster a homegrown indie author scene in Germany. What that really means is that so if you're a self-published author in Germany, there's little to no avenues for you to be able to self-publish a digital book with a homegrown company. You're having to go with Kobo, with Reading Life, or you have to go to Amazon for Kindle Direct Publishing, or you're having to go to like Smashwords and self-publish there and then have them distributed to bookstores in your own country. So that's partly one of the reasons how, or ways that the German publishing industry can transform itself, is by offering valid self-publishing avenues where people could sell locally, distribute to all the different bookstores and digital bookstores that sell locally. But there really isn't things like that that exist. And if they are, they're really small niche companies that don't really get a lot of publicity. They don't really hype their marketing or services. People are just totally unaware that these companies like even exist, like Zizi, for example. So we've hoped you've enjoyed this ranting and raving edition of the Goody Reader Radio Show. We are going to do a fair number of these coming down the weeks and months ahead. So we apologize that we haven't really done one for a few months, but we'll certainly redouble our efforts now that there's kind of a lull right now. There isn't a lot of new devices being announced, so we're not traveling as much as we normally are, going to product releases and covering all these big news. So for the next few months, while we're kind of in between events and kind of in between new gadgets and stuff coming out, we'll put more of an emphasis on a show to kind of give you the week in review, big breaking stories as they happen. So stay tuned to our website, goodyreader.com. If you're listening into this on iTunes, you can visit our website goodyreader.com/blog, and you can check out all of our recent videos on YouTube at youtube.com/goodyreader. And for all the latest apps for Android, BB10, and the playbook, you can check out our website at apps.goodyreader.com. My name is Michael, and everybody take care.